Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
This is Dan Borowski's theme song for You and Me, Lair Bear. I don't know. It's kind of a silly love and marriage.
Well, do you know what this is from, Dawn?
I don't.
This is actually from the opening of the movie Up, the Pixar film Up. A very sad opening, I gotta say, but it's just it tells the story of just a man falling in love with a woman and their entire life, and they show like a montage. And the name of the song is called Married Life by Michael Giacchino, one of the composers for the film. But it's just if you've seen the film, it just gives you a good amount of nostalgia for just a beautiful relationship like the one that you and Larry share. So I felt it fit pretty well for you guys.
Wait a second. Weren't they very old?
Well, that's where it eventually got to, and the story is the guy losing his wife, and
they grew old together.
You know, yeah, they grow old together, yeah. And then you know he puts balloons because he's being threatened to move out of the city, and takes his house on a ride because he has nothing better to do because he lost his beautiful wife. But yes, it does end with them being older, but this song itself, Larry, they are young and they're falling in love and such, and it's just like you two.
You can talk all you want, but don't try to defend your ageism here. You're attacking us. Because we're older. You youngins. By the way, I'm driving in listening to Dawn.
Yeah.
And so some people may just be tuning in. So you had a caller in the last hour,
Roger.
Named Roger. You are so nice. I would have hung up on him so fast. I could. The third interruption, I would have hung up on him. He was going back to 1953. Let's go back to the King of Prussia, Cyrus the Great. Remember him?
Oh, I thought you met them all.
You're so nice.
Thank you.
I was stewing, Larry. I went into like defense mode, not over Dawn, just over the entire thing. Like interruption after interruption. I apologize to that caller because I got a little too passionate, I think. But you're right, Larry. I was.
No. I'm glad somebody took him on. I mean, Dawn is really nice to the callers, and I get that, and that's part of her appeal because you know talk radio hosts normally get upset with somebody, but the fact that he kept interrupting. Roger, if you're listening, be more polite.
Well, and Dan and I were talking about it in the commercial break, and I was like, you know, okay, we want to say we were bad, we caused that, whatever, and why don't we go back to the days of the indigenous peoples? Why don't we all just leave America?
That's good.
Just give up our property.
Exactly.
You know, it's all our fault.
What about those cavemen?
Yeah.
What about those cavemen?
those brutes.
They had no respect for human life.
No. So there. So
yeah, I know he knew one thing. He had this one fact, and he was not going to let go. You know, it was like he was not going to move on. Anyway, I don't want to keep talking about the last hour, but
I mean, Larry and Dawn. I don't know if you want to take this, but Bernie and Tacone also has comments about the last caller. You want that or no?
What do you think? Sure.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, Bernie.
Hey, Bernie.
Oh, your other half was right. That guy was an idiot. No, he's bringing up stuff. And when you think about it, if you talk to exiles or whatever, you never heard anybody like as bad as the Shah was. They'd rather see him back than what the mess they got now.
Yeah.
I never heard during the Shah's time that they had religious police beating women because they weren't dressed right, to the fact that one, I believe, got killed over that.
Yeah, remember that.
Oh, and there's one thing I did want to bring up. The difference between a MOAB and a bunker buster. A MOAB is the equivalent of a small nuclear device, and it's dropped off the back of a C-147. A bunker buster is a middle. The idea is the first thing it does is blow open a doorway, and then the rest comes through to do the job.
Yeah, it's amazing. And so I guess, according to Bernie, I was just making up a name for the MOPS, for the super penetrator, because I was calling it the mother of all bunker busters, which probably in the military world is probably a huge no-no because they're separate things. But I was just like putting the two together. I was trying to be cute.
Sorry, I lost him.
Oh, sorry, Bernie. Anyway, back to Larry. Thanks, Bernie.
Yeah, Bernie was absolutely right.
Yeah.
That I was right. Yeah.
Thanks, Bern. Appreciate you. And gave us a moment to laugh.
Anyway, we can move on. There's more important things going on in the world right now. By the way, I do not think that that it's going to be old leadership that's going to come back. I think it's going to be the guy that's on house arrest right now that was leading the green movement. I think there'll be a big push for that person to take over once this guy's outed. And I thought it was brilliant what you said. You said that he was very careful to leave out the U.S. in blaming people for the airstrikes. He was blaming Israel. I have a feeling, and you are absolutely right, both of you said about this, he is the master of survival. And so I think that he is not dumb enough to attack the United States right now. Because, and I'm not sure any attack's going to happen, because he wants to survive, and he knows he'll be taken out. I don't know if he'll be killed, but his regime will be over if that happens. I mean, I think Donald Trump sitting there, go ahead, make my day. They already have plans. They already have targets, and they will decimate the country if there's an attack on Americans.
Yeah, and the attitude this morning, and even over the weekend, I really thought about this a lot, Larry, because it was in even our family prayer last night, you know, for protection. But I just think that the media goes for, oh, they're going to strike us. And it's never just recognizing that this was an action that was in truth a reaction. It was a reaction to what was inherited. And even going to Roger's phone call, which I know you guys didn't like, but the point is, okay, here we are, okay? And without talking about the past, this is a moment, a window in time that obviously the Trump administration, this America, this moment inherited, but you have to do something. You have to take action, or you're going to have to live with this possibility, this imminent situation where Iran is on the verge of becoming a nuclear, you know, of an official possessor of nuclear weaponry.
I agree with you. And as you know, from our conversations at home, I wasn't on board with this from the mm-hmm. beginning. I didn't know why it was necessary. And I thought Israel was doing a fine job, and let them handle this. We shouldn't get involved. And I think that's what Donald Trump was contemplating, you know, his America First policy. This wouldn't be America First, but it is. And I was wrong. And by the way, please burn that. But I was wrong, because he was putting America first. And I love that so many people in the MAGA movement and so many Republicans have turned around on this mm-hmm. because it was stunning how easy this was. It was stunning that there wasn't one plane in the air from Iran and there wasn't one missile fired. That we got in and we got out quickly. Now, I know we have to thank Israel for some of that, because they took out a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. But still, the emperor has no clothes. We exposed Iran as being weak. And I think for that alone, this was important. Now, we still have to do the damage assessment. I'm not sure how much of their nuclear program they took out. I talked to a guy earlier today who was saying that they did move some stuff in trucks. And so, but since we own the sky, we can take anything out at this point. And we have intelligence between us and Israel. We'll have intelligence about where it went. So this was really eye-opening. It was a stunning success, but much of that was because Iran is weak and we feared them. Mm-hmm. Where was that intelligence coming from? How strong they were. They are weak. This is the time. If anybody's going to act on Iran, and I know that's what Israel's doing right now as we speak, this is the time. We should take them out forever.
You and I were watching some of the coverage over the weekend. I don't know if you saw, I was watching Anderson Cooper on CNN behind the scenes at one point. And I wanted to get your take on this, because Dan thought this was kind of cool that Anderson Cooper was over there. He was reporting and he was on with, you know, with the wireless mic, just behind the scenes type thing. And I wonder if we can play that and get Larry's reaction.
Yeah, youtube.com/@12thandwpht. Some great video footage here from CNN. Please like, subscribe, click the bell for more notifications. Going to pick it up right after. So we can't play, obviously, the alarms, the missile alert sound. So we're going to pick it up right after that ends. And they actually keep with Anderson live. It's very fascinating. Take a watch.
10-minute warning of incoming missiles or something incoming from Iran. So now the location we're in has a verbal alarm telling people to go down into bomb shelter. So we have about a 10-minute window to get down into a bomb shelter, and we'll continue to try to broadcast from that bomb shelter, and even if we can on the way down. Do you guys want to...
Should we go down, or you want to finish this?
Well, we should probably go down.
We should probably go down.
Let's just make sure. Do we have? Are we able to do that? All right. I think we're going to head down to the shelters. Chuck, do we have capabilities as we go down?
Riveting.
Just checking your microphones. Be ready in a second. Okay. Here we go.
All right.
So you see the three of them. They're inside with the backdrop of the city, but it's a set. So they're in a building. He's not reporting. You know, like some of the reporters you see, they're actually somewhere outside or on a balcony. But in this one, now they're going inside, and then you see them proceed as they walk through and walk down to the bomb shelter. So to me, I thought that you could not make this more boring. Do you know what I'm saying? You could not. I mean, my God, you're right there in the backdrop of all of it. Could you be more boring and talk about yourselves? Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, that's a great take. But I will tell you that when I saw it and there was no politics involved and they were just reporting a story from the heart of the story, I thought this used to be CNN. This is who they were. This is what made them famous when they were over in Iraq, when the bombs were coming in. This is what CNN should be. And I don't think that's ever going to happen again. But in big stories like this, sometimes they're able to recapture their old selves, as boring as you thought it was.
It was that. Come on. Come on.
I thought it was cool. It's like a tour through the hotel. You know, those are always fun.
I mean, I'm looking back because I had like, you know, done a search of CNN back in the day. And you had people like pooping their pants on live TV, and they were just going, you know, scud studs.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, you're right. That's good TV.
I mean, but at least they showed some kind of level of, I don't know, being human.
Jimmy writes, and those three are no Bernie Shaw.
I don't know. I just felt like, and even it's all about us. Well, what should we do? Not even thinking about, you know, thank God we have this shelter to go to. What about all the Iranian people? They must be fear. I mean, there's just no sense of empathy for the people of Iran. You know what I mean? Or
you want to hear a riveting interview impromptu as they wait for the elevator?
Can I just jump in and say that I have been in, as you know, when I was doing live reports, I was in some precarious situations. Yes. And I used to put myself in precarious situations. And sometimes it's difficult not to talk about what you're going through. And sometimes you can tell a story by what you're living through. And so I'm not going to judge someone who is in the middle of an airstrike by how they reacted and what they reported. I think that was pretty good journalism. As you know, I will attack CNN all of the time, but I'm not going to attack this. As boring as you think it is, right. I don't think he was wrong.
Well, let's listen in now.
You want to hear
as
that?
As they're pushing the elevator.
Chris writes it on YouTube. Where's Andy Cohen and alcohol when you need that? All right, going to the elevator. Anderson walking up now, and here's the he's got to burn some time as they wait for the elevator. So what else besides to have an interview with his guests? So here you go.
Here with Jeremy Diamond. So this is the first one today, isn't it?
It's the first one. Not today, because 7 a.m. was the last one. I think we're all a little bit upside down.
We're at 3 a.m.
Oh, we're at 3 a.m. Yes, so it is the first one of the day. But what we've noticed, I think, is fewer barrages, but quite high intensity, particularly this morning. I mean, Jeremy, you were there on the scene. The damage was...
Yeah, I mean, there's also been reports that the Iranians have been using different types of ballistic missiles, some reports of cluster munition.
You can really hear
the
nervousness in their voices, though, which is fascinating.
Impact that can have on the scene. Today I was at a site in the north of Tel Aviv, in Ramat Aviv, where you saw a residential block that was almost, you know, completely obliterated. By the power of that blast.
You guys got to press down in the basement, please.
Okay, there's just contribution.
You know, the damage is enormous.
And then the feed cuts.
More of
Dude,
these
push the
button
yourself.
That are indeed getting through those air defense systems. But, you know, quite incredibly, we haven't seen any fatalities in, I believe, a week now,
a week.
Right? The last Monday morning was the last time we saw a fatality. That's, of course, a credit to the aerial defense systems, but more importantly, perhaps, to the early warnings that are getting us into bomb shelters and getting millions of other Israelis.
And it cuts there.
And so
okay,
that was riveting.
You proved your point. That was torture. and by the way, the information was kind of riveting, but can we see it instead of seeing it,
right.
Cooper? Can we see that? So you know what happened, Dawn, from working in TV for a long time. The anchor was out in the field,
mm-hmm.
So they're going to keep the anchor on camera. What they should have done is when he was describing what was going on, they should have used their other camera and showed it. That would have made it interesting.
Yeah.
But standing waiting for an elevator having that conversation is not all that interesting. And if Anderson Cooper was as good as he thinks he is, he would have said, do we have a camera shot of this? Can we show it?
Yeah. Yeah. But, so, well, the reporter referenced that he was out all day with a crew. So absolutely, Anderson could say, and you know what? While you're talking, maybe our control room could show some of the footage that your crew captured as you were out today, out and about, and just keep showing that. But to keep them on camera was bizarre. And I'm not, you know, in at least in that little segment, you had some factoids in their reporting. I just think Anderson Cooper he just seems like he doesn't really have much. Thank God he was with two people who have information and facts. Because
showing it to them.
He doesn't, you know what I mean? He didn't even push his own elevator button. It's like, dude. You know what I mean? Like,
well, let me tell you something. Anderson Cooper is in some trouble. You've heard that, right?
Yeah.
Anderson Cooper makes too much money, and CNN's making huge cutbacks. They've already spun it off, and they're slowly looking at people to cut back. He's making $18 million a year, and his ratings are awful. You know, there are people at the station that have better ratings than him and don't have that lucrative time slot. So watch what happens with Anderson Cooper. He's threatening he's going to go somewhere else.
Oh,
where?
Let him. Yeah. Where? To work as an elevator operator?
Can I just juxtapose Trey Yinks reporting out there in Tel Aviv? Take a watch.
Respondent Trey Yinks has been up all night, is standing by with all the details. Trey, what can you tell us?
Yeah, Laura, following that Israeli attack against Iranian nuclear
facilities. So setting the stage, he's actually out in the city of Tel Aviv reporting live from the streets, showing some of this footage. This is about an hour and a half before the missile alert came in, but just great war reporting there from Fox News, you know.
And again, Trey...
Trey's got a death wish, by the way.
I know, my God.
I've been watching his reporting, man. Oh, wow. Yeah, they've had to drag him off of roofs while the missiles were coming in. He's got to watch himself. He's got to be a little bit more careful. I'm sure the crew that he's working with is going, hey, Trey, not for nothing, but I'm up here with you.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but great job and incredible reporting. By the way, the markets, there's a CNN, a couple of headlines as far as business. One of the headlines just within the past, about 40 minutes ago, the headline, Wall Street is acting like America did not just strike Iran. And so the Dow is like, everything's like, eh. And I even noticed the Today Show this morning, they were by 7 a.m., they were, well, what about this heat wave? What are we going to do to keep cool in the heat wave? It's weird how some in the so-called, you know, mainstream media with, you know, people are like, eh, life goes on. What are you doing over the 4th? It's fascinating to me.
Yeah, and I think there's a good reason for that, and it's a reason that we should all love, is because I don't think there's a feeling this is going to be a long, protracted war, only because, again, Iran proved itself to be so weak. I shouldn't say Iran did, we did. They've been trying to say how strong they were and how they can attack us and how they can do this and how they can do that. And all of a sudden, we expose the emperor has no clothes, or the Ayatollah has no clothes. I mean, he is that country does not have the capability to defend itself, let alone attack another country. It is weaker than it's ever been. And Donald Trump just exposed that.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and that's I mean, you probably said it better than maybe I said it earlier. That was kind of my point earlier, that you think about what's Russia going to do. Russia's weakened, and they're not going to do anything. China's not going to do anything. And so at the end of the day, I do feel that Trump took out a bully that was a problem, that was about to get, you know, that was about to achieve becoming a nuclear power and possessing nuclear weaponry. And so I think this blows over. And I didn't mean to make a pun there at all. I'm being serious. I think that's why they're all just going on to the next thing. And Larry, you were talking about Enten, I think Friday, that on CNN, that he was talking about the popularity of within Americans, Democrats and Republicans. Remember that you were telling me about, we were talking
right
about this?
Yes. Yes. And the thing that gets me is I will tell you, the Democrats are on this wrong side of every single issue. They're not going to win another election for a long time unless they get their act together, because immediately they came out and talked about impeachment. First of all, it's ignorant, because under the War Powers Act of 1973, all he has to do is call leadership in Congress within 48 hours. And he did exactly that. So they spoke out of ignorance and made themselves look stupid. AOC and Bernie Sanders out in front of the ignorance. So there was that as well. And the Democratic Party, most of them stayed silent. Chuck Schumer stayed silent because they were smart. They knew they didn't want to be on the wrong side of history. And now you have some people out there that should just be eliminated from the Democratic Party because they did them a disservice. And going back in history, by the way, Hillary Clinton gave plutonium to the Iranians. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama bombed 157 countries without telling anybody. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden gave them $16 billion of unfrozen assets. And you're going to blame Donald Trump for trying to fix the problem that they caused? It is so stupid politically. What you should be doing right now, if you want to look good to the American public, and I don't even know why I'm giving the Democratic Party some advice, is you should applaud this. You should show you're bigger than the moment. You should show that you can be an American when we need you to be an American. And just support this and say, well done. We're going to blast you on some other things, but in this case, you just made the world safer. You know how good they would look right now if they could bring themselves to do that? But they have this intense hatred for Donald Trump, and they're not able to get over it. It blinds them.
Yeah, Dan has the Enten. Let's just listen to Harry Enten real quick from CNN.
Yeah, look, I think it's a complicated picture overall, but on this particular question, and overall, I feel like there's more support for Donald Trump's positions than is comically acknowledged. Oppose Iran getting a nuclear weapon. I mean, look at this. 79% of adults agree on that. They agree with Donald Trump. Iran cannot get a nuclear weapon. 83% of Republicans, 79% of independents, 79% of Democrats. When you get 79% of Democrats and 83% of Republicans agreeing on anything, you know that that position is the very clear majority in this country. And so the American public is with Donald Trump. They definitely oppose Iran getting nuclear weapons.
It's more to if you want right, that, Don.
It's a lot closer on airstrikes. It is a little bit closer on airstrikes, but you're right. It's still a plurality on airstrikes as well. But look, I don't think the Democratic politicians care. It's an 80-20 issue on immigration, and they still oppose what Donald Trump's doing. They can't get away from their hatred of Donald Trump. They've been on the wrong side of so many issues. You were just saying that was 70-30. Immigration's 80-20, and they still are Mahmoud Khalil just got out, and they're embracing that. They are not going to win elections for a long time. I know everybody's scared about the midterms. Don't be. don't they? They are self-destructive. The Democratic Party is self-destructive, and they may not win another election until they get their act together for a long time.
Yeah, agreed. All right, I think we're up against a break, so thanks, honey.
Okay, I'm going to go. Sure, I'll talk to you at home. Bye-bye.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.